Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, a conversation with the Reverend Kevin Slayton, who wrote an op-ed in the Baltimore Sun a few weeks ago proposing a convening of black elected leaders to coordinate efforts to help young black men succeed. So we'll talk about that proposal with Reverend Slayton and with Congressman Kwesi Nfume and Dr. Lester Spence of Johns Hopkins University. That's coming up tomorrow on Midday. And right now, it's another installment in our occasional series, Midday in the Neighborhood, which we are producing in conjunction with our partners at the Baltimore Banner. Today, we turn our focus to Little Italy, an historic neighborhood filled with great places to eat and families whose legacies extend back for generations. Joining me now is Clara Longo de Fritas, who covers communities on the east side of the city for the Banner. Hey, Clara, how you doing?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And Marianne Campanella joins us as well. She is featured in a recent story that Clara and Jasmine Vaughn Hall wrote about people who are living in their childhood homes. Miss Marianne, welcome.
Thank you.
And you can join us, listeners, if you have a comment or a question about Little Italy, a great neighborhood to hang out with and hang out in, and a great neighborhood to live in, as certainly testified by the number of families living there for generations. 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wipr.org. And to tweet us, it's @midday.wipr. So, Clara, when you and Jasmine did this story that ran a couple weeks ago in the Banner, you were talking to folks who are adults who are living in their childhood homes. How did you approach this? How did you get connected with Marianne Campanella?
So I have a couple of contacts in Little Italy, and I know that they have this little plaques in the front of their houses that just says, Campanella has been here for 100 years. So I reached out to the president of the Neighborhood Association and asked them to connect with me. So it's a pretty known thing in the neighborhood.
In general, I mean, the plaques on the houses that say, you know, here lies someone, or here lives someone, you know, that's lived here a long time. Did you find there was a common thread among the families that you spoke with, both you and Jasmine, about why they are continuing to live in the neighborhood, and specifically why they're interested in living in the homes that they grew up in?
Yeah, so essentially people who still live in their childhood home, or who come back after a couple of years, they usually do so because they're looking for community. They may do so because they're going through some traumatic episode and they just need familiarity. A lot of the times it's just because they have an attachment, because that's where they live when they were from the ages of 5 to 12. And that's when we really develop our sense of self, when we form really strong relationships, either through going to school or just hanging around the neighborhood. So that's usually why people either never leave the neighborhood, like Ms. Campanella did, or eventually come back, like Ms. Betty Davis.
And she's a woman who lives over on the west side. And so, Ms. Campanella, were you born in this house? Tell us about your history in the house that you're currently living in Little Italy.
I was born in St. Joseph's Hospital many years ago, which was located on Caroline Street. I was born in 1941, September. I was youngest child out of three. I had a brother and a sister, and I was the youngest. I was born, as I said, in St. Joseph's. My mom and dad were in my maternal grandfather's home. My grandfather bought the home I'm living in 1918, and what you're saying about what you see on the houses, they're called centennial homes, which means one family has to occupy the house for 100 years, the same family. I'm now 103 years into it. My grandfather came from Italy around the turn of the century. He bought this home in 1918, and he had four siblings, him and my grandmother, in the house here. My mom worked until she was 17 in a tailor shop, and she married my father. My grandfather who owned the home, his name was Anthony Filicetti. He was born in Ascoli Piceno in Italy. And my grandmother also came from that area. And they settled in this house here at 400 South High in Trinity Street. My mom married at the age of 17. She married my father. He was a Carosa. And they both lived in the home after their marriage and had three of us, three children. I'm the youngest. Later in life, naturally, we grow up. My brother got married and moved out. My sister got married and moved out. I got married and stayed. I said to my husband, as I said before, you marry me, you must live in Little Italy, and he agreed to that. Well, when he lived here only 1 year, he fell in love with. Of course, he was Italian. He was born in Italy, but he came over in around 1948-49, after World War II. He served as a U.S. Marine during World War II, and he worked in Little Italy as with tile, marble, and terrazzo, and he loved the neighborhood. He loved it just as much as me after a few years of marriage. And I had never had any thoughts of leaving this home, ever. It was too many beautiful memories for me here. The holidays were great. I went to a Catholic grammar school called St. Leo's, which closed in about 40 years ago. And my heart broke then, and it's even breaking now, because that was really the demise of the community, the old community that I knew. And the reason for that was there was no schools in the area. So the young people will come. They'll buy, but they'll move because they want to have children and send them to schools. But my memories of Little Italy are all fond. I went to St. Leo's for 8 years, the school. I was involved in all the activities there with all the neighbors' children here. We had a fife and drum corps. We had a basketball team. And on the holidays was the best of Little Italy. Everybody went house to house on Christmas Eve. They shared their food and drink and gifts, and the church was the focal point of this of our neighborhood, St. Leo the Great. The church is still there.
Yeah, St. Leo's is still the focal point of the neighborhood, to be sure, isn't
yes.
it? Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And it's been there 100. We celebrated 140 years here.
Oh, God
bless. St. Leo's. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys want to know the origin of Little Italy, how it all became Little Italy.
Let me ask you to hold that thought, because we're going to mm-hmm. take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will explore that with Marianne Campanella. She is a lifelong resident of Little Italy, which is, of course, on Baltimore's east side. That's the beat that Clara Longo de Fritas, who's a reporter for the Baltimore Banner, covers. And we will have more of Midday in the Neighborhood after a quick break. Our number to get to become part of our conversation about Little Italy, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wypr.org. You can tweet us at @MiddayWYPR. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
This is 88.1 WYPR, where you're listening to Midday.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, it's the latest installment in our Midday in the Neighborhood series. We're talking about the rich history of Little Italy, the great Italian enclave just east of the Inner Harbor. My guests are Marianne Campanella, who has lived in Little Italy her entire life, and Clara Longo de Freitas. She's a neighborhood reporter for the Baltimore Banner, who covers communities in East Baltimore, along with Jasmine Vaughn Hall. She wrote a terrific story about people who live in their childhood homes, and we've got a link to that story on our website, by the way, wypr.org/midday. If you want to join our conversation, give us a call, 410-662-8780, or email midday@wypr.org, and you can tweet us @MiddayWYPR. So, Clara Longo de Freitas, Marianne Campanella, is she a typical resident of Little Italy? Are there other people? Are there a great number of other people who, like, you know, Miss Campanella, have lived there for their? I mean, she's 81 years old. She's lived there her whole life.
Yeah. So when I was talking to Miss Campanella, she did mention that there are a couple of other residents who have lived there as long as she did. I think there might be one other centennial home, but the Little Italy population has decreased significantly over the past few decades, really. Which she said about that was the beginning of the Little Italy demise when the school closed. That is true. During her time, when she was like a young adult, there were about 20 restaurants and businesses. There's like a cheese shop, a butcher shop. It was very vibrant. And now if you walk in Little Italy, you'll see that a lot of the businesses are closed. There might be 12 restaurants. And it does really seem that the neighborhood has changed in that way, where a lot of families left. There are not as many kids. So it has changed significantly. And so there are a couple of legacy residents like Marianne Campanella.
Yeah. And Miss Campanella, I mean, that obviously is you know, got to be part of your experience to see a change. You gave us some of the reasons, the school closing, St. Leo's Elementary School closing, and, you know, so fewer kids and fewer people sticking around, people in general going to the suburbs. How do you assess the neighborhood now? Are you still happy that you're there? I mean, what are you doing things in the neighborhood in Little Italy, you know, the same kinds of things that you were doing when you were growing up and newly married?
A lot's changed, naturally. Mm-hmm. But a lot, let's put it this way. I am one of only 13 of me left in the community that have lived here.
Mm-hmm.
Our Little Italy used to be 12 blocks at least. We're down to 6. Naturally, improvement, Harbor East came, and we're very small now. As I said, there are only about 12 originals left of me in the community. It's very sad for me. I feel alone. I never used to feel that way. What's happening is they're selling the homes, and the owners are buying them and breaking them up into apartments. Now, when you get renters, they're well and they're great, but they move on. You get to know them and they move on. And that's the sad part of it. I'm not used to that in Little Italy.
Do you get to know the folks, you know, on your block and in the neighborhood? You mentioned it's about a 6-block radius now. Mm-hmm. Would you say that you know pretty much most of the folks who are living in Little Italy now the way you did when you were a little kid?
Oh, yes. I mean, I know them. But I know they're not going to be here. That's sadness to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying to you? They come to Little Italy, they rent, which is great, but then they move on. And a lot of the young people want to buy homes here, but they can't because there's no school close to Little Italy. And that means young couples get married, they come. But as soon as the babies come, they move out of the neighborhood, which is sad. You get to know them, and then they move. Years ago, you got to know them, and they stayed here forever, like me. The restaurants were thriving, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s. We had valet parking. It was a thriving area. No more. The only thing right now that's holding Little Italy together is St. Leo's Church, really. We get a lot of our parishioners that come back to church, to St. Leo's, on a Sunday. And we get to see the old neighbors then. So that's where that lies with me.
Yeah.
But it's sad. It's sad for me to open my door in the morning and not see all the ladies sweeping and, you know, hosing down their yards, and we don't get that anymore. The camaraderie isn't there.
That's Marianne Campanella. She's a lifelong resident of Little Italy. Clara Longo de Freitas is with us as well. She's a reporter for the Baltimore Banner. And Clara, is the key moving forward for Little Italy? Do you think it's commercial, bringing people from outside the neighborhood back to businesses, back to restaurants, and, you know, deserted Vaccaro's and a great cheese shop and a great butcher and a great veggie stand? Or is it residential? Is it expanding the footprint to back to, you know, close to where it was in the past, or a mix thereof?
So I've talked to the president of Little Italy Neighborhood Associations about this, and I know that the community organizations there, they're trying to revive Little Italy in that way and attract new businesses. But I also talked to Linda Darrow, an associate professor at Morgan State University. I asked her exactly that question, like, how do we bring Little Italy back? And she isn't so sure that we can bring it back, because development and rent prices, it makes very difficult for people to have that same experience as Ms. Campanella, of having a childhood home, of living in one place for a long time. Because as Ms. Campanella said, people rent and then, you know, either they move on because of they have a baby, or sometimes they just can't afford to stay in one place.
Yeah, and Ms. Campanella, according to Live Baltimore, about 53% of folks in Little Italy own their home and 47% rent their homes. You obviously, you know, your family's owned your home for more than 100 years. The difference and the importance of, you know, having roots that last and legacy that last. What do you think the young families who might be considering buying a home in Little Italy and raising their kids there, if they can work out the school issue, etc. What advantages do you see for them? What advice would you give them, and perhaps even what pitch would you give them to persuade them to come to Little Italy and continue a legacy or begin one anew for their own family?
I would say to them, even when they come and I introduce myself or they stop by to see me, I'd say, try it. Stay in Little Italy. I know if you have children, you have to get in a car and take them to school or get them somewhere, but it's a great neighborhood. I guess that's why I say to them, you came and you bought a home here. They love Little Italy. The newcomers do love it, the ones that purchase the homes. Like I said, they love the bocce courts. We have bocce courts all summer, bocce tournaments. That brings a lot of our people back to the community, and the newcomers like that. And we have festivals in the streets, St. Anthony, St. Gabriel. That's been over 100 years with us, and that's staying put. And that's when we see all the old-timers come back. I would love to tell the people, yes, live in Little Italy. Little Italy's neighbors are very high-end right now. We're connected into Harbor East. As you know, that area is affluent, and we come under now that organization with the state of Maryland. We're going to get money from that also. It's a partnership. But people that come to Little Italy always sit and talk with me on the bench, and I tell them, you come here, you buy a house, you live, you're going to love it, but you got a little bit of worry with the children. That's the only drawback right now that they would have if they came here. But the ones that are coming love it, and I know a lot of renters already are here over 20-25 years. They have no thoughts of moving, which is wonderful. But then there's the other a big percentage that they come, they stay a year or two and leave.
Yeah. And Clara, when you talk to folks with LINA, the Little Italy Neighborhood Association, LINA, one of the things that struck me is that when I went to the website there and I looked, they're all very young. I mean, the people who are the office holders in the neighborhood association are not Ms. Campanella's generation. They are a generation or two below that. Is it a vital neighborhood association? And do you think that is something that is working in Little Italy's favor?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of actually different associations in Little Italy besides LINA. There's also Little Italy Community Organization, and they are very active. I've just covered another story about Little Italy over the weekend. So I do think that if Little Italy is going to have a revival, it will probably be because of these community associations, because they are young and they're passionate. I mean, not the organizations, they're pretty old, but the people running it, they want to make this work.
And Ms. Campanella, talk about some of the things that you've done in the neighborhood. You've been involved in neighborhood activities for a long time. Talk about your activism and what you've done.
Yeah, I'm a neighborhood leader here, community leader. However, I sat on the board of the Little Italy Community Organization, 30 years at least. My greatest achievements for me was going to the city of Baltimore and asking for $1.2 million about 15 years ago so we could have, they tore up a lot of the old streets and plumbing, and all new water lines were laid in, new sidewalks were put in. That was one of my finest achievements. And another one was when we get some people that buy restaurants and they don't use them as restaurants, but as Rough House Rosies, I call them, and they get drunk at late at night. So I had to go to the liquor board and stop two of that, which I did. But I worked very closely with the city of Baltimore, city meetings, neighborhood meetings, to keep Little Italy safe and clean, and that's my achievements. I'm still doing it as we speak. I have to, contact City Hall, contact councilmen and all that. It's time-consuming, but I like it because it makes the neighborhood better. As a matter of fact, where Clara lives, there was a church there that was built in 1839. That they kept the cornerstone there. It was a church. They demolished it 2 years ago and built a 40-apartment complex right up Trinity Street. I'm on Trinity and High, and it's been wonderful for the community. All kind of nice young people are moving in. A lot of John Hopkins workers are there, and I'm getting to know them, and I feel good about it. It's just, at one time, 50% of this community spoke Italian, not American, and that's a lost thing also. There's only about maybe 15 people that speak Italian now in Little Italy.
Yeah, well, it's great. That's all the time we have, but it's great, Ms. Campanella, for you to share your experience and share your wonderful story about the dedication to this really wonderful neighborhood. It's worth a trip down there to grab deserted Vaccaro's or a dinner at some of the great restaurants that are still there. So thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Please come down, everyone.
Okay. And Clara Longo. Thank you, ma'am. And Clara Longo de Freitas, thank you very much for this story. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Wes Moore and Anthony Brown made history earlier this month when they became the first African-Americans to be elected governor and attorney general, respectively. The Reverend Kevin Slayton of Northwood Appled Methodist Church has proposed a summit of black leaders to discuss the particular and persistent challenges facing black men. We'll talk about it with him and Congressman Mfume and Dr. Lester Spence from Johns Hopkins University tomorrow here on Midday. Thanks for listening to day. I appreciate it. Have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is 88.1 WYPR.